Have you ever had someone recommend something to you? Have you ever asked for a recommendation for something? Have you ever taken a recommendation you regretted? Do you have something you want to recommend? Welcome to Recommended to Me by a Friend. If you're anything like me, you've probably had a lot of people who have given you a lot of recommendations for everything, from what to watch, to what to eat, to where you should spend your free time. Come and hear what happens when this overscheduled writer not only expands her horizons with new recommendations, but also tests the boundaries of friendship as I drag a new co-host along for the ride. Will I have made a positive memory, or will I give my friends a new reason not to answer my calls?
I'm Aubrey, and this is Recommended to Me by a Friend.
But yeah, Audacity is what I know how to use, and I also got a second microphone for this. Mm-hmm. And I had 2 weeks to figure out how to use it, and I didn't yet.
I mean, I know how it is. You get a new toy, and then just...
I'm a constant professional. I'm not great at it, is the problem.
It's all right. I mean, whatever works. We are not an ideal recording situation right now, but...
Speaking of non-ideal recording situations, I'm Aubrey.
I'm Dan.
And this is Recommended to Me by a Friend. And
hi.
This is, yes, with a whole new intro here, as you probably already heard. Oh, you might actually be able to hear that noise.
This is a city that, I don't think it's a city that never sleeps, but it stays up late.
All right, and with that said, the city that we are currently in is Los Angeles, California.
Yeah.
I found my way here visiting Dan Little, who is the voice you guys have not heard yet. Dan.
Actually, they have heard me a few times, just not in previous episodes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have they?
Maybe. I mean, so long as you didn't cut me out.
Of what?
Of this podcast, which is...
You've never recorded with me before.
I have been recording with you for like the last 5 minutes.
Wow. Okay, you're right. Okay, I did some mic tests that I deleted because you could hear whatever that Terminator movie was in the background.
I think it was Edge of Tomorrow.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right.
Which I assume you've never seen because... Tom Cruise is in it.
Yeah, no, I will not stare at that little rat face.
Wow.
We love you, Tom. Come on the show. Actually, don't. I'm just... No. All right. So, yeah, new thing was recommended to me by a friend. Now, as you've heard in the introduction, I'm going to be trying out some recommendations or giving recommendations, and I'm bringing a new co-host along with me for the ride. This one is a very special one. Dan Little, who we have worked together.
Yeah.
On...
Define Normal.
And also...
I mean, several things.
That's true.
Where do you want me to begin?
Let's see. Didn't you do the filming for the screening room, the tips and tricks?
I did the tips and tricks of the screening room. I also produced the screening room, edited it, wrote it, directed it. I was... Yeah.
You practically breastfed it. It was...
Wow. Yeah. I mean, no. I guarantee you that I didn't...
Okay, okay. No, you actually came up with the cut, like, you're the one that pitched doing the screening room back when we worked together in Illinois.
The screening room was actually pitched to me by Bill Baker, who was, like, my Uber boss at the station. He had an idea. His daughter, Deanne, who, if anyone out there has watched Define Normal,
knows
as Madeline, she was going to Columbia College Chicago, which is my alma mater as well. And it's kind of getting into the short film scene in Illinois and whatnot, and wanted to explore that. He obviously was a producer at a TV station and had the power to do that, didn't have the time, so he pawned it off on me and Paul and another guy named Brett, and I believe all of us worked on Define Normal at some point or another.
We did, yeah. Brett worked as our sound guy for a little bit.
I think he was, yeah.
And Paul was also boom mic, and he did lighting.
Yep.
And if you watch the bloopers, he's the one that's singing that, "Sometimes I feel like somebody's watching me."
I don't think I ever put the bloopers up on YouTube.
It might be on our Facebook. But yeah. So Dan and I have known each other for...
But the bloopers might go up on YouTube. Don't quote me on this, but...
I could take that out.
It could come out soon.
Ah.
I need to go through some old hard drives, but...
It's fine.
If I can, I will put those up there.
I do like the blooper reel.
The blooper reel is hilarious.
It always makes me laugh. But yeah, so Dan and I think we got to hold for ambulance.
Cool.
A few moments later.
Your city's unsafe.
It's big. There's lots of people.
Okay. Dan and I have known each other for, what, like 10 years?
It's been about that. I was trying to remember, but,
and yeah, we've worked together for about 8.
Sure.
Roundabouts. Like, off and on, granted.
Uh-huh.
Now, very similar to Leah, Dan got much too amazing and fabulous to hang out in my neck of the woods. This is back when I was living in Illinois, and he has moved to
Los Angeles, California.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Los Angeles, California is kind of where the movies get made. A lot of people don't know that.
A lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
This is, Los Angeles is kind of the hub. It's where a lot of the like major creatives live. Big indie scene.
Right.
But, you know, New York, Chicago, Georgia, Atlanta, they all have pretty large film industries, but it all kind of starts here because this is where the headquarters of the major studios are.
And another place that's nearby is this town that I think, I don't know, I'm pretty sure like your film buffs are going to know, Hollywood.
Hollywood? In fact, we are in Hollywood right now.
We are currently in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So here's what happened, gang. I was talking to Dan, and he has been wanting me to come out here pretty much since you moved out here.
Since I moved out here. Yeah, first moved out here in 2016.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you've actually done some stuff. I know you did some camera work on some show on Hulu that I've watched.
Oh, it wasn't on Hulu. It was on Amazon Prime.
Right.
So since I've been here, I've done mostly G&E, just gripping electric.
G&E.
G&E.
Okay, I thought you were like Genie, like... That's a pretty cool talent.
Grips,
I wish
and
you had told me.
Grips and electricians are genies. You know, they're the ones who are, they're basically on the fly engineers.
Right.
If someone wants to put a camera somewhere or put a light somewhere, they got to figure out where to put it.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and it can be some pretty crazy places.
Now, recently, you've actually done a lot of work on the picket line. We'll just kind of briefly touch on this.
Okay.
But you have actually been picketing. Where have you been picketing?
Mostly I've been picketing at Universal Studios.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, in case
you... Without getting into the logistics, just like where have you been picketing?
Universal Studios.
Okay.
Hollywood.
Okay.
I've also been on the picket line at Amazon, Netflix, Paramount, Warner Brothers, Disney.
Which means all of these places are somewhat nearby. Because
all these places are somewhere nearby.
You live very close to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, you and I have been friends for a while, and you and I have worked together. You and I work together very well.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you guys have heard, have watched anything that I've written, it's gone through what I call the Dan filter, and he makes it a lot better. We go back and forth, we pass the scripts back, and then eventually it turns out to be really great. One thing that I like to tell a lot of people, one of my favorite jokes from the Define Normal pilot was entirely Dan. It was the very last joke in the episode where Charlie says, you know, I can't wait to see what kind of pictures the photographer got. And then Madeline pauses, she's a photographer, because that's the whole
reason.
And
their eyes twitching.
But that was, we were at your apartment. We were putting on the final touches for an episode before we were about to start casting.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan pitched it and I could not stop laughing. And that was the moment I was like, we are going to do really well writing together.
Yeah. It's a fun time.
I mean,
we basically had our own little writer's room of two.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, threw ideas back and forth. Obviously, Aubrey came up with the lion's share. And I went to film school. I had written scripts before. And it was really just a matter of...
My formatting is awful. Like, I can tell...
Non-existent.
You have... you have, like... a like little twitch that happens anytime I can see your face whenever I get you onto my script. And half the time if I email it to you, I'm like, oh, yep, sorry. Also not sorry, but sorry. Send.
You know,
you get what I'm, yeah.
You know, everything goes through a process. Whatever works, whatever gets the project done.
All right, but the point is you've wanted me to come visit for a while.
For a while.
Because unfortunately, there is a 2-hour time difference between here and where I live.
This is true.
Doesn't sound like a lot, but for somebody who has the chronic insomnia and has to deal with, you know, like, sleeping meds, and that is a very specific time, and on top of that, like, I'll be getting home and, like, ready to, like, there were a couple times where I was trying to plan this trip,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, all right, I need to call because I won't be awake
for a lot longer. And it's like, oh, dude, I was just about to get some dinner. It's like, what kind of psychopath eats at 9? Because I'm also a very old lady. That's my little secret. But yeah, so.
The nice thing is moving from Central Time Zone to Pacific Time Zone is instantly you're a morning person.
Really?
Yeah.
Where the hell's that been all week? Because I've been here a week.
Well, it does tend to change when you stay up until 1 and 2 a.m. Exploring the theme parks around here.
That seems fair. Okay. Yeah. So I think that's
usually I go to sleep around 10:30, 11. So this has been an experience. A good one, but definitely outside the norm for me.
Well, something we've come to realize, something that you and I have talked about, is the fact that I have a hard time just doing things for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the selling points is you and I got to talking about, you know, I could talk with some other writers and we could actually have some time to like sit down and like bounce ideas off each other.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if I was going to be doing this new format, you agreed to do an episode. But originally, the thing that you and I decided was going to be an excursion that we talked about, and mm-hmm. that was going to be...
Was it Disneyland?
It was Disneyland.
And we did go to Disneyland.
We did go to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And that was an experience because I've never been to Disneyland. But
You've been to Disney World a million times. You literally wrote the book.
I literally did write a book that was rejected. But that's...
Unfairly.
You know, oh, no. Wildly fairly. My book was from the perspective of young adults with no kids
mm-hmm.
and how to make the most for your money using different time tricks and, like, strategies.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem was by the time they changed it.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, wildly.
Yeah.
Like, for the first 4 years, it was all very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever I was like, I've got enough. And I even, Carrie and Michael, who I've talked about on the show before, they went and... I wanted them to test out some things, and they said that the strategies were good. Carrie especially said her biggest problem was getting Michael to stick to the strategy,
mm-hmm.
but the strategies were good.
Uh-huh.
And then by the time I submitted it, they had introduced magic bands. So...
Which I'm wearing one right now.
Yes.
On my wrist.
But so Dan has never been on a Disney vacation with me, which are admittedly somewhat structured. Because...
I hear you're kind of a boot sergeant? Is that what it's called?
A drill sergeant.
Drill sergeant.
And they called it affectionately.
In case you couldn't tell, I've never been in the military. So, forgive me.
It's an awesome time to reach out to my favorite vet. Hi, Dad.
Hey, Mr. Silla.
And if you're listening, this is the part of the show, the obligatory part of the show, where I'll talk to my probably only listener. At the very least, number one fan.
My parents will listen this time.
Well, that's so cool. That's fun. This could be like the parents' podcast.
Yeah. Hi, Mom and Dad.
Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Little. Thanks again. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But okay, back in the day when I used to do these like groups, I think they affectionately referred to it as Disney Boot Camp.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I got the drill sergeant.
And I do remember saying march or die a lot. Like... Like, do we have to go and so fast?
Sometimes it felt like we were kind of on a death march.
March or die. And I get that from my dad.
Mm.
But anyway, so there were a lot of things I was interested to see. However, I got here late Saturday night, mm-hmm. late-ish Saturday night. Not yes. even. I was here. Like, I was, like, settled in my hotel by, like, 9:30.
About 10.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And throughout the day, we didn't do Disney until Tuesday.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then we decided we were going to meet up some other writer friends on Thursday to do Universal.
True.
Yeah. We were going to, like, meet up with them, just like a social kind of thing, meet with other writers, because we're both writers.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to meet with them on Wednesday, and there was all sorts of things we decided we were going to do this week. Now, because of that, I decided... Disney's fun and all,
mm-hmm.
but I think this episode is more becoming to recommended to me by a friend, very much recommended by you,
mm-hmm.
Los Angeles.
It's Los Angeles.
I've never
been
there.
This is kind of a, what do you call it, a primer on Los Angeles, because you've only been here for 6 days.
And what a 6 days it has been.
It's been a long 6 days, been a packed 6 days, and we have not even scratched the surface.
I know. Okay. I went from, like, my coordinator days, like, oh, yeah. No, it'll be tight, but I can figure out how to book all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
We spent a whole day that was just recoup, and if I hadn't done that, holy crap, I would have killed somebody.
Well, you would have gone to Universal Horror Nights and probably been mistaken for a corpse prop. at some point in the night.
You think I'm pretty? No, just enough to pass as a corpse. I heard what I wanted to hear. All right. So here we are, recommended to me by a friend. Los Angeles.
Los Angeles edition.
Yeah, Los Angeles edition.
All right. So how do you want to do this? You want to go from like Saturday night and like take it day by day, or?
I mean, I guess so. I guess so. Dan picks me up.
She flew into Bob Hope International Airport.
I just thought it was Burbank.
A lot. It's in Burbank.
I mean, it was a smaller airport.
It's a very small airport. Mm-hmm. And I believe their last flight has to leave around 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So you were on like the last flight that arrived there because of noise ordinances in Burbank. Mm-hmm.
For filming?
No, just for people. Burbank. Oh. It's a slightly.
Burbank was like, we're mad as hell. We're not going to take it anymore. Like,
pretty much, yeah.
Screw you and the plane you rode in on.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, the story of Bob Hope Airport is that it was a lot smaller, maybe even like mostly used for private and charter flights.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wanted to take some of the burden off of LAX. So they allowed more flights to come into Bob Hope. But the condition of that was no flights after 9 p.m. for the residents of Burbank. Because it is right there in the middle of Burbank.
I will say I was surprised by how fast it. Because first off, I'm in a hotel in actual like Hollywood proper. Mm-hmm. You live nearby. Live in Hollywood. You live in a neighboring town.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
still
so,
in Los Angeles, but yeah.
Yeah. So we still got here in like half an hour, and I was surprised because the closest airport to me is.
And kind of the stereotype of LA is that it takes forever to get anywhere.
Well, I was kind of prepared for that.
It was late. That's true.
So, I will say this. The driving, the traffic here is bonkers. Like, they did not give a yo. They did not. We were in an Uber, and this guy just, like, he was like, well, I've had enough. And he just did, like, a U-turn, pretty much almost ramming somebody that was coming the other way in the turn lane.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was mad. It was like, well, it happens. And I was like, what is... Yeah. I was just like, I'm just going to look at my phone.
I will say, in LA's defense, there's one of those bad drivers right now.
We don't know that for sure. What if it's a bank
robber? You can cut that all off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to malign the ambulance drivers.
A few minutes later.
What was I saying?
In defense
of Los Angeles, I did used to live in Chicago. As I said, that's where I went to school.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The traffic in Chicago is so much worse.
Yeah, you don't like driving in Chicago.
Not in Chicago, no. I'm a little bit better in LA. I don't generally like to drive, period, but you kind of need a car in LA. It's very spread out.
Where were we? Because you and I, it's back when we were working in a WTVP.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sent somewhere, and I drove in Chicago.
Oh, I don't... Is this the parallel parking story?
Possibly, because I can't parallel park, but I also know how to be aggressive behind the wheel when I need to be.
I don't remember exactly where we were. I think we were north of the Loop.
Yeah.
We were actually interviewing a filmmaker, because the screening room...
That was
for the screening room. And kind of the point of the screening room was we showed short films made in Illinois, or with kind of an Illinois connection. It was a little bit... Squiggly. It gave us a lot of...
That's Illinois Adventure. Things to do in or around Illinois.
Yeah. It gave us a lot of wiggle room because, you know, if you grew up in Illinois, but you went to school at UCLA, then we could interview you. Or if you had an actor who went to, you know, who lived in Illinois, then it was fair game.
I remember we were sent somewhere on location.
And
Dan was like, I don't know how comfortable I am driving. And it was like... Yeah, I can do it. And I think that scarred you a little.
You're a fine driver.
I did okay up until the parallel parking.
The parallel parking.
Yeah. We don't have parallel parking.
Neither of us
now.
Are good at parallel parking. That's a big problem.
Because
I grew up in a moderately sized town in Illinois. And yes, there was parallel parking on occasion. But normally, there's just parking lots. Like, that's the big difference. And here in LA, actually, there are a lot of parking lots, a lot of parking garages.
Oh, man, parking, like, oh, God, parking's a nightmare. But I do see where you're coming from. I just would not want to navigate that maze. But, okay, so we went walking around, and I got to tell you, for somebody who has, I've been a few places, but this was probably the closest to what I imagine Vegas might be, like Vegas light. I remember getting, like, we went up the staircase, and it was, like, mall area,
And then you could see the Capitan, El Capitan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just all like lights. And I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah. And we found El Capitan, the historic theater. I think it's from like the 1920s.
Yeah.
Owned by Disney now.
Disney now.
So very much like Las Vegas. And very, very.
Yeah, that's pretty much what Las Vegas has a reputation
just
for.
Just Disney?
Disney-esque is a lot, is how they describe it.
Putting the sin in Cinderella.
They put the sin in Cinderella. That, if we ever do merch, that's got to be the first thing. Putting the sin in Cinderella. No, I just see Disney legal team like rappelling into the windows. Just like, no.
Hey, Cinderella's an old German, French fairy tale. I don't know where Cinderella's from, but.
But yeah, so we went up at Mel's Diner.
Mel's Diner, yes.
And then I feel like I got bamboozled because I thought we were both eating and I got a malt milkshake.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I ordered it, he's like, none for me because I'm not a huge pig that eats crazy late. It wasn't quite worded like that. It was probably worded like, I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
I heard.
Though this was the first time we ever had a malted milkshake, which
blew
my mind because. Yeah. I don't care where you live. Those things are incredible.
Here's what happens. Sometimes I panic when it comes to food because I'll think about...
Not very adventurous?
I am, but it has to be certain circumstances.
Mm.
For example, I can't be in the beginning of a trip
where
I've already invested like a considerable chunk of coin into upcoming plans. And I don't know, because again, I'm an old lady. I don't know what's going to happen all the time. And then after that, I did very much get like a whole plate of fries.
You did?
Because I was like, fried fries. Nom, 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 nom.
Yeah. Now, Mel's Diner is a great place. It's an institution.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I love about Mel's is if you know of a little independent filmmaker, he made some movies that I think got pretty popular. His name is George Lucas.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah.
He's the sci-fi guy.
Sci-fi guy.
Right,
yeah.
Sci-fi.
But before he made... That's not true. After he made THX 1138, which was sci-fi, first movie.
Right.
He made a period piece.
Right.
Called American Graffiti.
Oh.
Yeah. Starring...
That's a really big movie.
Starring Ron Howard. It was a big movie.
Yeah.
It was a big movie.
Like, America, that's probably one of the biggest things he has done.
I mean, I can't name anything else he's done.
Crack a book. Of course, you know, he went on to develop Lucasfilm, and I think
Industrial Light and Magic, Skywalker Sound.
Skywalker Ranch is somewhere in California.
Skywalker Ranch is in Marin County, which is up by San Francisco.
Be honest, you ever try to sneak up there?
I have not.
But
I
you've
would prefer
thought about it.
To keep a healthy relationship with George Lucas.
You've thought about it, though.
I mean, who hasn't?
All right.
If you're a Star Wars fan, then it's the dream to be able to set foot on Skywalker Ranch. But okay. Mel's Diner was actually a Mel's Diner, not the one we went to, but a Mel's Diner was featured in American Graffiti.
What? I thought that was the Mel's Diner.
That was not the Mel's Diner. I hate to tell you.
Well, I feel like part of this experience has been a lie.
Well,
what are you going to tell me next? That we didn't actually meet the gremlins?
I'm starting to get a feeling that you have never seen American Graffiti.
I'm pretty sure I have seen it. I just don't remember. I watched a lot of movies between 2013 and 2017 that I had no interest in.
Well, regardless, Mel's Diner is very proud of their involvement with George Lucas and his story coming up. And they have a George Lucas room
there. I did see the George Lucas film. I'm sorry, George Lucas room.
Yeah.
But another thing, because, you know, you kind of expect like Los Angeles to be like a little extra.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, they really like spooky, scary stuff. Because they had, like, bats and pumpkins and cobwebs and stuff.
Oh, yeah. They do Halloween right here.
But see, that's just it. I had forgotten what time of year. I was like, I don't know. Like, maybe it's, like, a horror film kind of thing. Like, they're into spooky stuff. And then we were walking away from the Lucas area, and I started laughing. And you're like, what? And I said, I just remembered that it's Halloween season. And that's why. But
there's cobwebs everywhere and spiders. You're like, what? Why aren't they... No, this place.
It's because in my mind, like, you know, like, okay, you also have to understand there is right outside my window, my hotel room, is a big billboard for The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was a little alarmed.
Exorcist Believer. I think that's what it's called.
I was a little alarmed at first, but to be honest, those girls and I have become fast friends over the week. I'm going to miss them a little
when
I go home.
The movie, it might even be out as we're recording this right now. You could always see it.
Yeah.
Say hi.
Just saying, I don't want to be a bother. They're going to be at work, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. You know.
But
tearing apart the souls of innocent human beings must be really tiring, you know?
That was a trip, because, yeah, you dropped me off at the hotel, and I was like, well, I better get all situated. At that point, it was probably, like, 11:30.
We did skip one thing.
What did we skip?
The first place we thought about trying to go eat was a place called, I believe it's the Tropicana. And it is...
It was that fancy place with all those vampires. Okay, sure. I will explain. It was this fancy place, like, it was a pretty place, mm-hmm. and there were, like, all these people, like, dressed up, and the girls, like, had, like, floor-length gowns and, mm-hmm. like, jewels and stuff, and they were all, like, either, like, deep red or black.
Yeah.
And then we finally figured out that we think, don't quote us here, but we think that it might have had something to do with, like, some kind of, like, vampire event.
There is, like, a vampire masquerade or a vampire circus thing going on around here. I haven't looked much into it, though.
Vampire Masquerade is sort of like a D&D game, and I used to play. I had a character named Clover Sanchez.
Not that. An actual masquerade. Like, not a video game, not a...
Then I regret bringing up Clover Sanchez.
Never regret bringing up Clover Sanchez.
No regrets.
The Tropicana was the poolside bar at the Roosevelt Hotel,
uh-huh.
which, as you might have known this already, but I actually just learned it, was the site of, like, the first Oscars ceremony.
Yeah, this is information I definitely knew
before. Deep Hollywood history.
Which I know. Roosevelt
Hotel. Marilyn Monroe practically lived there during a good section of her career here.
All week I've been hearing about Marilyn Monroe. All week. And finally today.
We have different
today,
opinions.
Today, I was like, I do not care about Marilyn Monroe.
And I'm scandalized. I'm scandalized. Even just now, hearing it again.
I like the third time. Pumpkin spice. I've checked my white bitch card.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to like Marilyn Monroe, okay?
Ah.
She's doing fine. Her ghost is doing whatever it does.
Well, I'm sure it's true. I'm sure.
But, yes, the Tropicana, where mm-hmm. they had the
And her ghost is probably at the Roosevelt right now.
Doing whatever Marilyn ghosts do. I know I would be.
Probably swimming. It's a nice pool. You did say that.
You told me to bring my old lady bathing suit, and we never... I was like, dude, it looks like an old lady bathing suit. And you're like, yeah, we're going to need it. And I was like, dude, we didn't. We had no time. But yeah, so you dropped me off, and I was just like, all right, well, it was a trip kind of getting, like, settled. I thought I was going to be 2 hours ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I was fine. Mm-hmm. I was totally fine. And then the next day was, like, that was the day you said we were going to the beach.
Yes.
And we did
go to the beach.
We did. I wore flip-flops and, like, a linen skirt. Like, oh, not even you
expected
linen.
It to be, like, a beach? Golf beach.
Yeah. And, like, a crop top. Like, mm-hmm. I wore, like, a flowy skirt and a crop top and
see, here's the thing flip-flops. About Los Angeles.
Yeah.
That I don't think a lot of people realize. We are desert.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's basically... You do have, like, very hot, hot, hot desert just to the east of us.
Mm-hmm.
But as you go farther west towards the,
beach,
towards the ocean, it gets cooler and cooler. Like, both in terms of, like, cool people, but also in terms of temperature.
It's like, you know, you start out with, like, Bill Nye, and the further you go, it's the Fonz.
Sure.
Hey.
I think Bill Nye is pretty cool, personally. Science rocks, as he...
Bill, we love you. Come on the show.
It's been a long time since I've watched Bill Nye. I think he said Science Rocks. That might have been another popular children's scientist of the day.
I think now the bad boy of the science world is Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That's his name, right? Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. We'll go with that.
All right.
He might live here. I don't know.
What I'll do is I'll just...
I just assume most famous people live here.
I'll figure out whoever the real bad boy of science mm-hmm. is, and I'll, like, re-record over that, but it'll be monotone. I think the real bad boy of science is Sam Gregson. Like, just... Once again, professional. Who has two thumbs and is a professional?
I mean...
I'm a professional.
Of the two of us, you do have the podcast. I must admit that.
Which is proof positive that anybody can have a podcast. All you need... It's an ill-advised dream.
A microphone.
And a microphone.
A single microphone.
Apparently.
Yeah.
One day, I'm going to figure out how to work that out. You can definitely hear the sirens.
You can definitely hear the sirens.
Of the ambulances in mm-hmm. the back. I'm going to assume it's for just drills. No one's in trouble. I hope
so. That might be a fire truck.
Well, that's great.
A little longer than a few minutes later.
All right.
Yeah, fire in California
is not a joke.
They, yeah,
They don't go well together.
It's so weird, man. It's so weird being in California. But okay, so the next day, where do we start out that day?
Where we start off on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Because you start out somewhere.
Wait, the Getty. It was Sunday.
That was Sunday. We went to the Getty.
Yes, we did go to the Getty Museum.
It was gorgeous. We made up backstories for the ducks, Doug and Mildred.
Yeah. Yeah, Doug and Mildred, they were doing some sort of topiary maze that was part of the outdoor garden, which is it's a very pretty garden.
It was very pretty.
Very picturesque. And the Getty Museum is up on this very high hill just off of the 405. Mm-hmm. And you can see, well, you couldn't see the ocean, unfortunately, because the ocean was cloaked in fog, which should have been our first clue that it was probably going to be a little bit chilly on the beach. But that's foreshadowing.
Our first clue. I had no contact.
First clue.
Uh-huh.
I should have warned you. I apologize for that. I did tell you that the temperature drops about 20 degrees from east to west.
I don't think that happened.
I think it did.
I don't recall that happening.
I mean, you did get lost on the subway for like an hour, so.
I got lost finding the subway station for an hour.
I stand corrected.
Right. That's much better in a way that also means worse.
It's just a beautiful panoramic view of the west side.
You get to be in like a tram that takes you to the actual like museum proper, and mm-hmm. you get to see these gorgeous views. One point, there was like this like really like swanky looking house, and there was a pool. There was one of these inflatable pool slides that I saw like by the pool, and I see them all the time back home.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I live in like southern Alabama. These people are getting them for like their kids' birthday parties, and they take up like the entirety of the backyard. And what made it funny was he's like, Dan goes, what's that thing? I said, that's one of those inflatable pool slides. And he went, ah, how the other half lives. And at first I thought you were being sarcastic. And I was like, no, dude, you can, that's a very achievable goal.
Hey, I grew up relatively poor in the 1980s.
I grew up comfortable, but we also did not have like, in the 80s, you didn't have...
I just remember back in the day, like, if there was, like, a bouncy house or, like, one of those, like,
bouncy castles. Those are the rich
kids. Those are the rich kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, you say, I'm going to take advantage of this bouncy house.
I'm going to be in this bouncy house. There's some cake in there in about 20 minutes. No calls. I'll be in the bounce house.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So we stayed at the Getty for a while. Yeah,
and I don't remember exactly what Getty did. I think he was like a newspaper magnate. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on this.
All right.
I
can, again, go back and like monotone. He did this amazing thing that, that California was ever grateful for. He stopped the fires.
He left a trust and his art collection, and it's one of the best collections
that was really
in the
cool.
city, at least.
Yeah, because we didn't do a ticket or anything.
No, it was free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. California would like California to be better at any time. California's like, better yourself mm-hmm. and have some intellectual curiosity. I'm not saying that Alabama doesn't have that, per se. But what I am saying is California, so far, my limited experience... there are corners of it where it's like, yes, please come and look at the art and please enjoy mm-hmm. the this or that or the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Yeah. Now, I don't know why. Maybe it's because most things are very expensive. And California was like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean...
But yeah.
I personally, I'm a huge fan of like neoclassical art, Renaissance art, and it's just... an amazing collection, and they've got, you know, they've had things rotating out. One time I went there and they had a Renaissance collection that included like some Michelangelo sketches, some Leonardo works. Yeah.
Okay. Now I have studied the actual Renaissance artists.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But I would, if anybody has a recommendation for some art displays from the Ninja Turtles or really any 80s cartoon comics, if they have any exhibitions, and I'm not talking about their creators and artists, I'm talking about them. I want the fictional characters to have a fictional art exposition.
Exhibition.
That's what I want out of life.
We'll get right on that.
But in the meantime, I have to make do with the classics.
Or modern art. You could always go to the Broad.
Oh my gosh.
You could always go to the LACMA.
We would find some like Mocha. We would find some really gorgeous architecture, and then the ones that you would compliment are like the most modern boxy, soul-crushing me? Corporate.
See, I like two modes of architecture. I like brutalist and I like neoclassical. But colonial, not my bag.
Not your bag, colonial. Not bad. Mm-mm. See, I like a good colonial. But, you know, truth be told, I was expecting more 20s art deco. Now, I think we have crushed the pretentious LA part of this.
Like,
okay. We had some boxes we had to check. But yeah. But no, the Getty was gorgeous.
And highly recommend.
And I'm
for
just
anyone who's
like,
out here.
I'm just talking about like the views and the outdoor stuff. But yeah, the paintings, I was like looking at just like every single plaque. I was like, oh, I want to know about this. You'd find something in a painting and be like, I want to know about like the backstory of this like smiling pig or whatever.
Yeah, I told her about the game in which you look at a piece of art and you ask yourself whether or not the artist has ever seen a baby and
or a kitten
ever in their life.
That's a fun game. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't understand what he's talking about. And then you find some things that's like, that's not a baby. That's an 80-year-old man that's been shrunken down. They're both bald.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the similarities lie. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see...
And then you have, like, the kittens that look like they're some sort of, like, werewolf-type creature. I don't know.
I don't ever again want to see an infant with the eyes that know what war is. That's really, really disheartening.
No, I mean, it was Renaissance Italy for a lot of these, so...
Yeah, but a 5-day infant... does not know all of the ins and outs of wars. They know about war. They don't know about the strategy. And I think that's fine.
You're saying no baby generals.
No.
You don't buy that.
No baby generals. I think the closest we get to a baby general should be Napoleon, because he was theoretically very short, although that's probably
5'6".
Yeah.
5'6".
Are you telling me that I'm shorter than Napoleon?
Absolutely.
You've
watched too many cartoons.
No, it's all Bill and Ted, to be honest. Which was when Leah's in my first, like, franchise film that we covered. I was like, I'm a Napoleon expert because I speak, you know, some French.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he does speak French, but that's on a different episode. But now I'm, like, just shattering reality that I'm shorter than Napoleon.
Well, I'm here to break dreams like the city that I live in.
I am... less dead than Napoleon, so I got him there.
I mean, I don't know where his bones are. Honestly, they might be in the catacombs. I've never really done any research into where Napoleon...
He's in one or two places, but I cannot remember which one it is, and I want to say which one it is, because I might be wrong. Super quick, sorry to interrupt. This is Aubrey from the future in the editing. And while I was listening to this, I realized that I was way off with my estimation of where Napoleon's remains actually are. And in fact, I'm glad I didn't say anything, because further research indicates that Napoleon's remains are in fact at Les Invalides, which is the House of the Invalid, which was a sort of resting home slash sort of hospice care that Louis XIV constructed for war veterans. Anyway, fun with history, and back to the show.
Okay.
All right. Anyway.
We don't have to mention Napoleon at all. That's
maybe
the miracle of editing.
I know. So then after the Getty, we went to Venice Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, psh, I know about beaches because I've walked in Gulf Shores. And I took my shoes off.
Mm-hmm.
And my God, that was a mistake. My feet kept sinking down into the sharpest, jaggedest of all the shells.
Well, the thing is, you kind of need to walk where the water has, like, just been, which
is
dangerous.
I did walk in the surf, and then it attacked me.
It attacked you twice.
And it was so cold.
And you were like, run away, run away.
Because I saw you. It was too late for me. I tried to save you. I was like, run!
You can outrun the surf.
I cannot outrun the wave.
And they do have the little tiny, like, broken up seashells that can be a little bit annoying.
And I thought that was going to be the worst thing I did to my feet all week. And boy, was I wrong. But we'll get there.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went to Santa Monica.
To Santa Monica. It is a beautiful walk. Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
Who is the mother of St. Augustine.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I heard is the patron saint of pigeons.
I don't know that. I cannot confirm or
deny.
People
can be two things. I can be a podcaster and shorter than Napoleon.
True. Patron saints can be patron saints of many things. My patron saint, St. Luke, is the patron saint of artists, writers, and physicians.
How long has he been your saint?
Since my confirmation.
I gotta tell you, I kind of feel like your parents had a plan. You said writers, right?
You get to choose your patron saint. Yes.
Wait, so when does confirmation happen?
Confirmation happened, I believe I was like 12 or 13.
All right. I confuse that with baptism. I see what I've done.
Yes.
Okay. Aubrey talks Catholicism. It's this new religious program that I pitched.
Mm-hmm.
It did not take
off. It didn't fly.
I got several letters from the church, including one that just said, are you?
Cease and desist. Little cease and desist letter from the Vatican.
This one just said, Dear Aubrey, and it looked like someone spit on the paper.
Oh, totally spit though.
All right. Okay, so yeah, Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
And it was a pier that I confused with a pop-up fair. But apparently it's there all the time.
Oh, it's there all the time. It's very old.
I was confused mm-hmm. at, like, the little booths mm-hmm. with, like, the toys and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because it reminded me exactly of, like, the tourist trap stuff that we have at Gulf Shores. And then as I'm saying this, I'm realizing it's because Santa Monica is a tourist place.
Yes. Yeah. And also, Santa Monica Pier is the end of Route 66.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Route 66, back in the day, went from Chicago to Santa Monica.
Huh.
And, yeah.
Well,
there's a sign there on the pier that says the end of Route 66. Or the beginning, I can't remember which.
I wish we had gotten a picture of that.
I actually asked you if you wanted one, and you were like, no, I just want to go.
Yeah. Okay, because we were walking around,
mm-hmm.
and I did not realize how out of shape I was.
Mm.
I mean, like, pairs of shape, but you know what I mean. And so, I was... So we're walking around, and then at some point, we had dinner plans that night, didn't we?
I think we did. So, yeah.
That was when we went to the steakhouse,
mm-hmm.
and I chickened out. But yeah, so we're walking around, and all I knew that day was like, we're going to walk around on the beach, and then we're going to go and get food. And for some reason, I interpreted that as, we're going to get food, and it's near the beach.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we walked all along Venice. And by the way, the skateboarding there is no joke.
No joke.
We watched, like, I kid you not, like a toddler fly. It was amazing. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. When you're starting off skateboarding, I guess you need to have no fear of anything. And I got the impression you kind of need to start young when you still bounce.
Yeah. At one point, you were like, I need to learn how to skateboard. And I was like, we are a million years old by comparison.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure I'd just break at this point.
I mean, just like that's how.
But it looks like so much fun. Like you're watching these skateboarders and they're just flying. Because this was like a dedicated skate park.
Yeah.
Yeah, this wasn't just some, like,
reclaimed
swimming pool or anything. Like, this is legit.
Yeah, it was made for it. Like, it had all, like, mm-hmm. the swoops. I do, like, a hand motion, but it's an audio podcast, so it's hard. Yeah. But, like, I think I'm pretty descriptive with the word swoops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, we
watched them. There's so many dogs. There are dogs everywhere. I love the dogs.
Yes.
If words...
There's another ambulance or something.
Ambulance song, it's the ambulance song. Hoping no one's dead. It got dark. I'm sorry. That was...
More moments later.
Please keep in mind, it's been an action-packed week. It's the end of the week, and it's currently 10:30.
Yeah.
So, I have the rare... This is a first time for me. Mm-hmm. This is the first time where I'm recording in my own domicile.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, it's a hotel. But what's nice is... At the end of the recording is, you're going to go.
And you're going to be able to go to sleep?
Yeah. Theoretically, if my brain would do that without, you know, medicines. But anyway, so, yeah, there's like a billion dogs.
I feel like one of the things you have to appreciate about, like, Venice Beach is, like, you've heard of Muscle Beach, right?
Yeah.
That's there.
Huh.
Yeah. And so, like, there's a lot of outdoor, like, exercise and, mm-hmm. like, sports activities there. And I just felt like you had to witness one such thing.
And then we wound up eating at that steak place.
Mm-hmm.
And
the thing Del Frisco's. Drop the name Del Frisco. Yeah.
And the thing is, Dan, since the pandemic, has not been comfortable
eating inside.
Yeah. Or really any enclosed
space.
Which
makes it really nice living in LA where it's pretty much nice all year round. Like, it gets a little bit chilly at night.
Like, you know, you're one of the few people, and it's not unheard of, especially around here. Like, I do see a lot more here than back home wearing the masks. Mm-hmm. But obviously eating, it's hard to do with the mask. So we ate outside. And that was really comfortable for, I don't know, 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then it's like the sun was like, I'm going and I'm taking all the heat with me.
Yeah. Desert. Again, there's very little humidity.
And again,
that just
dressed for what I thought the beach was,
mm-hmm.
which I've grown up with punishingly hot, like humid and heat.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I
that's not LA. We have had a pretty humid, like unusually humid summer, but yeah, it's not that.
Dude, I've forgotten more about humidity than you'll ever know.
I did live in Illinois for most of my life.
Oh, okay, whatever. But anyway.
Well, I did. I have visited you there, and I remember one time we had to run an errand to go like to a Walmart or something,
mm-hmm.
and from the time we got out of the car to the time we went into the Walmart,
mm-hmm.
the sky just opened up. It was like being dumped on by a billion bathtubs.
Oh yeah.
I was like. There was no warning. There wasn't really clouds in the sky. There wasn't any thunder or lightning. It was just water.
Yeah, we don't have seasons back home.
Yeah.
We have, like, we have the burning times, and then the rains come. And then it's just gray. So as far as, like, plant life, we don't have, like, the changing of the seasons. I'm sure I've told this joke before, but, you know, it's green, it's green, it's green. Oops, it's dead. So that's our seasons.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so we were eating outside. And again, I had made the comment with such conviction. I was like, psh, I live near the Gulf. I'm not going to get any seafood. And I wound up getting, like, the shrimp pasta.
Yeah, you should have gotten the steak.
I should have gotten the steak.
It was delicious.
He ordered this thing called, like, Oscar-style steak, and he let me take a bite of it. And oh my God, I wanted to marry it. It was like, and I've said this a lot, I wanted to marry a lot of food. But.
Yeah. You wanted to marry a lot of things.
It's not bigamy. Because I would have eaten it, and then I would have been a widow. So it's fine. There's a lot to unpack there, but we don't
have
time.
Lots to unpack there, anyway, yeah.
The Oscar style is, what is it? It's crab?
It's like a hollandaise sauce with crab and little medallions of asparagus. It's very, very good.
It's made of dreams. But yeah, so we're eating. And by the way, I did order the shrimp pasta, and the shrimp were so enormous. Mm. Like, it looked like California shrimp like can beat up Alabama shrimp.
Yeah, Pacific's bigger than the Gulf, what can you say?
Yeah. But anyway, so we're eating, and he's finishing his steak, and I don't want to say anything, because I am very much a carnivore, and I don't want to mess with anybody's enjoyment of a steak. And so, as it's just getting, I'm realizing, I'm starting to, like, tremble. I'm getting so cold. Because I'm wearing, like, half a shirt, and no socks. I'm wearing a skirt, which at least was, like, longer. But yeah. And then, like, we're trying to talk, and I was like, hey, uh-huh. How's that steak? How's that coming? What's happening? And then eventually you would finish, and we're just sitting there talking. And I'm like, so we gotta go. Like,
yeah.
I have to go now. Or I'm going. We were on the subway, and I was just like as small of a ball like as I can make myself. Mm. Like, it's gonna be fine. It's so cold. It's like, where the hell is global warming, man?
I mean, it's
have it all down south.
Actually, we did have a few effects of global warming this year. We got hit by a hurricane, which
yes,
I'm sure you are laughing at us even calling it a hurricane.
I laugh at the wording. But as, you know, like anybody who dealt with Sally the past mm-hmm. couple of years, oh my gosh, no, done with that.
Yeah, and it was, I think it was a hurricane when it hit Baja California. But by the time it hit us, it was a tropical storm.
Oh, yeah, that's nothing. We go to school in a tropical storm.
Yeah.
We wouldn't get anything done.
Mm-hmm. Here we pull out the sandbags and we sandbag up everything whenever it rains because the ground is hard pack and it does not absorb anything.
When I was living in Illinois,
mm-hmm.
there was one point where it was like my first snowfall.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, what happens now? And everyone's like, we get on with our day.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, the one time that it snowed, like in the last decade or possibly 2 decades, there was a little bit of snow. It barely stuck. And we closed down the towns. Mm-hmm. We were like, ain't nobody know how to drive in this. Screw that. There could be giant ticks out there. We don't know. But again, we will go to school if it's not a Cat 1. If it's just barely, you know.
Yeah.
I've seen teachers watching the television while school's in session like, maybe we should cancel. But okay, so I'm trying to think. I think that was pretty much it for day one.
For day one, yeah.
And then day two, what did we do on day two? Because that was Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. That was the day you showed me around, and we went to that Acropolis thing.
Are you talking about the Griffith Observatory?
Hey, let's say that. Okay, so we went to the...
Griffith Observatory.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you pointed out the murder house.
The Los Feliz murder house. I believe it's a story that happened in like the 1970s.
And I think I've heard it, but we talked about going to see it,
mm-hmm.
and we just didn't have time. There was no time.
There's no time. To see like these little like side quests.
I remember on the way there, mm-hmm. we were in the Uber.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we were talking about my hatred for hiking.
For hiking, yeah. Which is very sad because there's some beautiful hiking trails here in LA.
And I had to be very clear with you because I was like, I will not go hiking. In fact, I even compared it. I said, that's my meatloaf moment. Meatloaf will do anything, but he won't do that. And I said, yeah, there's probably a lot of things I won't do. But
you're afraid of bears, coyotes.
No, I'm afraid of having to
mountain lions.
Be on a hike. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be on a hike. All right. If I saw a bear, a coyote, or a mountain lion, I would throw my arms out and welcome oblivion because I don't want to hike.
I believe, and then we got into a philosophical discussion about what is a hike? What is a hike to you, Aubrey?
A hike is when you have wandered away from all civilization,
mm-hmm.
and if you were there without proper footwear or water, you would die. Hike is when it becomes a practice in life-saving measures. It's like Demetri Martin talks about swimming. It's interesting. Sometimes he does it for exercise, and sometimes he does it not to die. And that is how I feel about hiking. Oh. I don't want to go. I'm not going to. Like I said, if it's a choice between like getting mauled by a bear or a hike 10 miles, sweet, sweet bear, it's fluffy, and it will be over fairly soonish.
I might decide to play with his food.
I don't care. I don't want to go hiking. That's how much I don't want to go hiking. Hiking can shove it. I don't want to deal with it. No.
Well, but we didn't go hiking, even though we did go on... Okay. We did walk a lot.
You have to understand. We were on this, like, observatory,
mm-hmm.
like, deck, and there's all these hiking trails.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan's pointing out, oh, look at the hiking trails. And I'm like, no, we got to shut that down.
I was never going to make you go hiking.
But you, no, you were trying.
I was never going to make. There was a point. Obviously, I was never going to make you go hiking. I can't make you do anything.
There was a point where you were trying to sell me on the hiking.
No, I was just trying to say the hiking trails are pretty. Not that we had to do it or
do
it then because we had stuff to do.
I don't appreciate you or anybody lying to my face. So there's that. Hiking, I keep getting
farther and farther away from the microphone. I'm sorry.
You're fine. But yeah, so anyway, that night, what did we do? We had something to do. That was the night we had to go to bed early.
We did have to go to bed early.
But I can't remember what we did.
We went to the Grove and the Farmer's Market.
That's right!
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the tar pits.
We walked to the tar pits, yeah, to build up an appetite.
And I gave backstories to the elephants and one squirrel. Turns out when I'm hungry,
mm-hmm.
I will just let my mind wander. And 9 times out of 10, it'll focus on whatever fuzzy animal is nearby. And it's normally dogs, but in this case, it was that fat squirrel.
Oh, yeah.
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 The fat squirrel among the fat crows.
Which I thought were turkeys at first glance. I thought there was...
Have you ever seen a turkey?
I have, okay. But like from far away for a second in my peripheral, I thought, I was like, what the hell are all these turkeys doing out here? And I didn't say anything at first, and I started laughing, and you were like, what? And I said... Of course,
the first thing that popped in my head was that meme with the little girl saying, look at all those chickens.
What were they?
I believe they were ducks.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, she and I got a lot in common.
Yeah.
So there's that.
There's a very fun part of Los Angeles. It's basically the Grove, which is a pretty nice shopping mall.
That's right. The mm-hmm. mall.
The mall. Yeah.
And that's how we get the Farmer's Market. I remember
outdoor mall. And then right next to it is the Los Angeles Farmer's Market,
mm-hmm.
which is very old. I believe it's over 100 years old at this mm-hmm. point. And some of the stalls are over 100 years old. A lot of great places to eat.
I almost got some really cool food.
You almost got some really cool food. And you ended up settling for pizza.
I got a pizza slice. Like some kind of pepperoni. Aneurysm. Like, it was just, I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I got corned beef from this place called, I believe it's McGee's,
mm-hmm.
which has been there since the early 1900s.
It's very good.
It was amazing every time. It's basically just fall apart, Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Chef's kiss, mm-hmm. if ever there was one.
And in that, you know, in this proximity to this, you also have the LACMA, which is the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, mm-hmm. Which is where they have their kind of classic collection, also some modern stuff. But like most of the modern stuff is at the MoCA, mm-hmm. which we didn't get a chance to go to.
But it was that day we were on the way to the tar pits, and we found those like banners for the Pope of Trash exhibit at yes. the Academy Theater.
The Academy Museum.
Which we'll get to. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
So yeah, the Academy Museum's there, right next to LACMA, which is right next to the La Brea Tar Pits.
Oh, my gosh. That was on the way there that I, like, messed up my right foot. Remember, mm-hmm. I tripped on the sidewalk and almost, like...
You also stepped into the trolley yeah, rails. Yeah,
that was until later that
at
night.
At the Grove?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're on the way to the Tar Pits.
You also got attacked later on by an escalator.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I was Calamity Jane. Pretty much most of this
LA
trip.
Wounded your feet.
Oh, yeah, no. The day before, the Venice Beach, like, cut up my feet. And then the next day, on the way to the tar pits, I tripped on that very menacing sidewalk. Okay? It was out to
You
get
gotta
me.
Watch out for the sidewalks here. We got a lot of fault lines.
But, like, the way I caught myself, mm-hmm. instead of, like, just biting it, I caught myself awkwardly with my ankle. And I was like, I'm fine. I'm like... kind of limping, but it's okay. Because I am
like, can you sit down?
Yeah.
Because you had just told me a story about how you unknowingly broke your foot and
years
walked
before.
On it for like several days.
No.
Years before.
No.
This was when we were at the skate park.
Yeah.
The previous day.
Yeah, I was talking about how I had broken the two bones on the outside of my right foot, my left foot, and I went to the hospital and they did an x-ray and they're like, it should be fine.
It's fine.
Walk on it in 3 days, and it was still purple and not foot-shaped. Mm-hmm. And then I went to another doctor and he was the same x-rays and they're like, these bones are broken.
See, I imagine, I think it's Dr. Hibbert, right, from The Simpsons?
Yeah. Dr. Nick.
The good doctor.
Oh, the good doctor.
The good doctor from The Simpsons. Not the one who will remove your spleen for like a cigarette and a shot of whiskey. So I imagine it was like that situation.
But yeah, so... this day, I like bit it. Like I almost bit it. And I was like, nope, I'm not ruining the week. No, I'm just gonna walk it off. And it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Except for later, we're at the mall and we're on escalator and I didn't step close enough, like far
There's
enough.
There's no escalators at the mall.
On the way to the Barnes & Noble.
You're right. Uh-huh. You're right.
And I just didn't get far enough into the step. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden this jagged pain because... the step behind me formed and like yeah. jabbed into my
there's
ankle.
There's a lot of escalators in Los uh-huh. Angeles. I feel like you're not as used to escalators.
I'm definitely not as afraid of them mm-hmm. as I was before this week.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I'm familiar with them, but I'm also one of those people that's like, no, it's totally safe, but like don't get close to the edge.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But yeah, the stair formed and I've often wondered like, oh man, are those sharp or like, how would that feel? And it feels like some tiny little knives mm-hmm. and if it hadn't pushed me forward almost again downstairs. So. Yeah, the escalator tried to push me over instead of just cut like a little bit, you know, into the skin. Mm. And again, I'm like, I'm fine. And then we're on their way.
Let that be a PSA to the listeners. Watch out. They can bite you.
They can. Yeah, like teeth mark.
Mm-hmm.
Teeth mark looking things. And so we're on our way. We're leaving the mall. And there's a trolley. Beautiful trolley that runs mm-hmm. the streets. And I was not paying attention. And that same foot, I hit it at an angle, and, like, it kind of, like, just...
And those are very small.
Yeah.
Those are very small tracks.
I have very tiny, dainty little feet.
Mm, you do.
It's one of the few ladylike characteristics I have. It's that and my genteel demeanor
mm-hmm.
and vocabulary.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. We'll go with that.
But anyway, yeah, mm-hmm. so I just, like, stepped, like, half of my foot stepped into the trolley thing. And again, Dan's like... are you okay? I'm fine.
I'm not heartless. I want my friends to not be injured, especially when they've got to go to Disneyland the next day.
And that's exactly what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Hi there, me again. So here's the thing. Whenever Dan agreed to do an episode with me while I was in LA, we were originally only going to talk about one topic, and that was going to be Disneyland, because... well, for reasons that you'll hear about in the next episode. We do actually end up talking about it, but I had to break up our incredibly long conversation just because our conversation turned out to be about the week as a whole. It was an incredible experience, full of recommendations from him to me. and I couldn't resist. So please tune in next time to get the next part of this story. It is a long one, but I hope you find your way back here next time on Recommended to Me by a Friend. Bye!